I will give the floor to myself and to Theo Marshall. We wanted to share with you a few thoughts we have concerning our teaching in the School of Architecture and also the experience we had when we had to try to build a small scale construction in the frame of the BR programs. So we have decided to name the presentation with the very famous sonic effect Sarawaji, which is, if you heard about it, is a sonic effect that describes real pleasure to understand and to perceive a strange complexity, which is a visual effect, atmospheric effect that has been described by many travelers when they came back from China in the from the 17. It's this sonic effect is quite interesting because also it describes the feeling of beauty in our ordinary life. And since I have read this book as a student, also a PhD student, but also as a professor and teacher in the School of Architecture, I just always wondering what could be the Sarawaji effect for each of us. I remember, if I was not wrong, but a friend from Gresson will correct me, that Martine Leroux, which was a sociologist at this time at the team of Gresson, was saying that she was experimenting these sounds when she was hearing in the morning in Paris the garbage trucks were collecting the trashes. So it was some kind of complexity, some unique atmosphere with a lot of different sources. I love this example because, of course, it's very personal. And also it pushed us to think about what could be the Sarawaji effect, but also the sonic environment in cities, in major cities, where actually we are not in the, I would say, the easiest landscape or the sonic landscape. So it's something that also guides also the way I would like to teach to students and the way maybe we can also organize our teaching. So during the winter school, we had...
can you switch?
We had, during the two winter school, where we were welcoming the three winter school, we were welcoming the BR program. We had, as a purpose, as that has been shown by Jorgos Samata and Petros Fraburis and Dana yesterday, to work with vulnerable people and actually with deaf people or hard-hearing people. So we said, what could be a place, what could be a bench, what could be architectural device, I don't know, a small construction that can be welcome better the people that can't hear, that have problem to hear the sound, airborne sounds, transmission, and how can we use vibration and how can we use sound vibration, not hearing the frequency that where the hear are sensitive, to transmit not only messages, but emotions, which was the big idea. How does the sound, how does the world sounds, but how does the world vibrates and communicate to us? So I love the Mark, what you said yesterday, when you touch the sphere and you say, if I'm not wrong, sorry for my English, but say, I realize as much my hand is deaf, something similar. So we have to teach ourselves to build this common sensitivity you describe, both of you. And many exercises we organize in our school is just to understand what it is to touch vibration. So here we have several pictures of the workshop we had 2 years ago. And this one is some kind of exercise we did in the School of Architecture with Petro the last month. So it's quite important to find out with our body how you can feel vibration. and try to see how this experience builds some kind of references, some kind of sensitive references, in order to design something, in order to sketch and use to bring something to the light. So here we can see that these pictures. So I can show you, I will say, the result of this workshop, not this one, but the one that we did during the winter school in 2022 with... we have a small video if it works. So it's a way to experiment materials, materiality of architecture, and of course materiality of sounds and vibration. As a physician, I might have asked to students to write equation, make measurement, and so on, but we realize that in the frame of the architectural design or some kind of workshop, there is no easy things to do, and actually it's not what we expect from this experience. So when we touch the vibration through these materials, we understand the capacity of the material to transmit the vibration, so we can imagine how a simple material can become not only a structure, but also a transmitter of sounds and vibration. And the opposite, of course, can insulate. Sorry, Tera, I speak a lot, so when it will time, you catch the microphone and you start. So here we have, for example, a proposal we have when we had the winter school 2 years ago in between Volos and Grenoble. And actually where the proposal went out in the construction of this parametric carpet, where the single triangle are connecting one to the other, on which is possible also to insert some kind of transmitter vibration, and how they are connected with, and they can create like the carpet you see in the upper side of the pictures, a different, I will say, relationship of the body on the that is working on it. And because it's transmitting sounds and vibration. This surface, if we could build it, might also create volumes. Can you go to the next slide? Like, and next slide. And maybe it can be a floor that can be transformed in a wall and also in a roof. But when we have this process, we realize that materiality of architecture has a mass, has a structural constraint. So we here see that maybe this construction was not so good because somehow the architectonical constraint was too hard and too difficult to overpass the technical problem, classical technical problem. So sounds inspire... vibration inspired the design, but when you face the reality of the materiality of things, it could be it's quite interesting and challenging for us to also not forget the capacity of the materiality to welcome people safely in a structure that have to stand and so on. So I will say that this was not a success if we look at the capacity to design places with vibration in mind. But it was a success because students felt this vibration. They embodied it in their body. So I can hope that they have a better design and a more careful design with more classical project. It's why I wanted to give the floor to Theo, because in Grenoble, in parallel, they have a similar approach, and they have also... of a result that Theo will present to you.
So yes, as Nicolas said, we are used to work with sound and work with sound as a tool, but also as a material to think about space. And as we are in an architectural school, it's kind of strange in between because architecture is very, you know, it's building, it's materials, so it's very c'est des choses concrètes. And when you have to teach sensibilities way to accord yourself with the world, you will need to be in between quantities and qualities. And for that, the sound is, we think, a good way to enter that in between, because it's a very huge tool to talk about both in the same time and to experiment both in the same time. So yes, the main thing is to try to work from sound, but not just talking about it, but playing with it as in material devices, and also, we will see at the end, sonic device, I can say. To go a bit further, yesterday we talked about bones conducting sound and spatialization. You talked about an artist that made a wall. I don't remember his name, sorry. Yeah, and it brings me, that's why we put those images, because it brings me back those memories of the bench we made during one winter school, where the interesting thing is to use that bone conduction as a way to place yourself in space and also maybe generate kind of sonic affordance, because the bench you see here is vibrating and at different places of the bench, and then if you sit, you don't hear the same thing as if you're standing or if you are like on the picture on the top, putting your head on it. So it generates posture, it generates a way of being with the device. And that link with what Nicolas said is, when you're working with sound, what's interesting is not really the starting goal, it's the end of the process, where it brings you, where it brings the work, and how it can reveal things you didn't thought about before. Just some examples here. We built a passage to enter in a room. And the main goal was, as I said, to use sound as a starting point. So the main goal each time is to say, okay, we have to use the sound as a material and play with it. And then it generates all the thing, because here you see we work with wool, which is not straight, and it generates shapes, it generates inflections. So it makes things on the way you're passing through, the way your body is going, the way you're touching the walls. And then it generates reflections. Students start to reflect about you can see the floor with March and how it sounds when you have your foot on the wood, on the normal floor, and et cetera, et cetera. So the interesting thing is where it goes, not where it comes from. Some little experiments we did are also interesting, because here it's a passive device, we can say, where we try to generate a presence effect, kind of. So it was the starting point to use reflection focalization to enhance, I don't know if you can see it because the picture is a bit, yes, enhance the, yeah, it's here. Yeah. This one? Yeah, there are little I don't know if we can say waterfall for that smaller, but a little waterfall here, which generates a very tiny sound of water. And what's interesting is when you sit on a bench, you nearly, you're not hearing it because it's too small, too low. And so the student decided to bring it back when you go to the bench. So when they make tests, they work with a lot of different materials. At the School of Architecture, you can see on the top, we didn't have the waterfall, so they recorded the waterfall and then put it on speakers, and they measured distance and the angle, and they tried to play with things to regenerate the space. And as Nicolas said, it didn't work as much as we wanted. It was very difficult to focus the sound as we wanted. But the interesting thing is what it brings in situ. It generates a new small acoustic place where des usages insoupçonnés, unexpected uses. Unheard landscapes.
Landscape.
So that's the interesting thing here. Another experience was to build another sounding world inside a world. So some students decided to create an isolated tent in which they wanted to play sound, but sound from the place. So the goal was to go inside and you still have a connection, a visual connection with the place, because you can see through the tent, and you also can see the sky. But you're completely isolated and in a different acoustic than the huge park. It's small, it's very absorbing. And they play with local sound to generate a composition. It's a 25 or 30 minute composition. I just extract 1 minute of sound, just that you can imagine what it sounds like. So those are some sounds from the park. You hear the sirens of the, I don't know if it's police or fire fighters. At the end, it's the water. During the morning, the park is all wet because they put water on the grass. So, and they play with all the sound of the park during the day and the week to bring a new things inside. Another device was something that they call la longue oreille. In French, we say longue vue. Yes, long ear. But I don't know how to translate longue vue in English. Long sight, yes. So it's kind of a jeu de mots to say longue oreille, because you watch into a tube and you can see far things. It focuses on far, yes. And so when you put your eyes, you have to but you're here at the same time, very near from the wall. And inside the wall, there is a little speaker, which is just a headphone destroyed. And then when you're putting your eyes inside the tube, then the sound appears, and it's sound from what you're watching. But it's a bit... So maybe we skip that, just to, that you can imagine. And yeah, that was what I said before. How it brings, finally, how it brings different results about what you expect when you work with sound. And especially, I think, what we managed to do is that it allows to interrogate scales differently, because sound can traverse different scales in the same time, and also how it brings times differently. Because when students are working with sound, they generate a new, I don't know how to say that in English, it generates a new contraction and dilatation of time, because they are extracting sound from, as I show you before, extracting sound from place during a week, during a month, during a day, and then it brings back to the design something that it's very difficult to have only with view and drawing. And it not only brings it back, it forces you to use it. And to end this, we wanted to make a bridge with also sonic devices which are not constructed with material, but constructed only with sound. So this is, it started with the work of Sébastien and Marc of the Sirène, when we decided to play it on different speakers. And then we said, okay, maybe it could be very interesting to play with space and sound. So you hear it yesterday inside the, I forget the Douvne. Yeah, thank you. So you hear it yesterday, so we're not going to play it again, but just to figure that it's another way to build and design space with sound. It's to play directly with sound and use it directly as a material. And to end this, and maybe to make a link with the Sharavaji beginning, this week we experiment a lot with that multi-canal diffusion, but also recording captation. And maybe some of you hear it, I think it was on Wednesday, when we make experimentation with microphones, and the day before. So just wanted to share with you some of two of those moments, what it generates what it generates as an improvisable tool.
Suspension effect.
So here, that was the first experiment. And as we said yesterday, if you just put microphone and say to people to go play with it and play, go sing, it doesn't do that. This is just kind of an improvisible...
May I add something when we... Just the time to upload the last minute of the... Of the movie, actually, it's what we thought that actually when we decide to design with sounds, with our workshops and so on, maybe we have to express to write down the exercise what we wish to do and so on. And exactly what's happening with when we work with sound is somewhere where you are not expecting the result. Of course, there is a phase where you need to learn what does it mean to listen, to touch the sound, to inhabit a small tent with different materials and, for example, absorptive or reflective materials in acoustics. But actually, we found that many times we feel that our students are bored about this issue. Mm-hmm.
okay? Because you say, oh, stupid thing about this acoustic and sound. So we say we have lost Sarawagi effect. And when we have this combination of sonic devices with space, when you realize that this speaker is in front of a huge wall of this castle, and because I have a delay, so my own voice can be reflected like, I don't know, build some kind of your own imaginary, like a simple user, a simple listener, but also as a designer. We bring to the light maybe the some kind of joy, some kind of very perception of the beauty in a very complex scene where there is acoustic properties, where is friendship in between people, mm-hmm. games with their own voices, and games with the reflection of this voice in the architectural built space. So maybe it's not too late. Maybe here is our hope. We will be back to find our own Sarawagi effect.
And we can listen to the little experiment on Wednesday.
Okay.
It's not the same as hearing it in the live and situated situation, but...
Do you want to try again the video?
I think we can
handle
this
one, not time lunch, don't be. Okay, we can maybe. It's not over. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for the technical issue. Any question? Comments?
I wanted to ask, hi, very nice, congratulations. I saw, we were with Yorgos in Volos, because it was easier for us to go there, of course, and we really enjoyed the work there. But I had the question, the things that you constructed in Grenoble, you did this during the workshop. I'm asking because I got really jealous, because we just designed...
Yes,
I saw the students just designed and they didn't have the opportunity to construct. And I saw all these constructions that you made, and I was very impressed and jealous.
We made it during the 1 week workshop, but not all the devices you saw there, just the bench. And I didn't talk about that one, but there are kind of a spiral place. When I think you saw that pink
form structure. D'escargot, la pièce en forme d'escargot, de coquille d'escargot. This one.
Go back. This one, yeah. So we just did those two structures in 1 week. But
some students are there.
Yeah.
Manon, Alice, Audrey, Noan.
And then, bravo, congratulations. And then you took the time afterwards and you constructed some of those designs. And then afterwards, you took the time to construct some of those designs.
Yeah.
Actually, it is in the week, but it's also this logic that we have that Grenoble has learned to that they bought materials, and this logic you don't expect to have money and to have the perfect materials to build something. This is the materials you have, as we say in Greek, cut your head and do it whatever you want with that. This is a design process where you have this time, the week, with lecture in the morning, in the afternoon construction. And we in Volos, we did not have such facilities. Actually.
Yes, this is what I was. This is why I'm jealous, because we don't have the facilities. And I mean, it's not. Congratulations. Well, that's a very good job.
Yeah, we have the tools and the space too. But one thing maybe you remark is that the materials are always the same. It's because we are reusing them each year. So we try to not cut little pieces to have huge piece of wood. That way we can bring it back the next year to do something else. And
could you just define again the Sarawaji? So I think I understand what it is.
Yeah. I think if Sarawaji for me is very personal. They say that this was described by travelers when they were in China and they saw beautiful complexity of things because it was... And this arrangement of and in the you can also read a very nice paper from Jean-François Goyard in Volos International Congress of Ambiance. He say that maybe we are in everyday life some kind of metabolic perception of sounds of the ambiance, but sometimes things fit together, and because they fit together, it's a perception of ordinary beauty. And this ordinary beauty is a mode d'apparence des ambiances for Jean-François, mode majeur of apparence, bien sûr, très esthétique. And it was fascinating me because it's something that we are not expected. So for designer, for acoustician, it's something that you cannot predict, actually. Yeah. But you might design the condition of apparition to provoke, right?
As much
as possible. And actually, not push people to perceive beauty, of course, but to have the liberty to express themselves. And for example, the picture that we can hear that has not been designed in a way you can see on these pictures. But at this time, maybe students, they can talk, felt comfortable, and it was the best position of the body to try to understand what the vibration was saying to them in the frame of this furniture in the School of Architecture. So you feel safe, you are inside, you don't care if you don't lie down on this furniture. So you let your body be more receptive of a very difficult signal. You saw yesterday we tried to touch the ball and the tangible radio, and we are too noisy, actually, when we walk up in this salon with the parquet that is... And you don't have time. Okay, you remember yesterday, Saskia, we need a lot of time to hear properly the chacal things. So what could be the condition of apparence, l'effet de Sarawaji, material condition, sonic condition of apparence of this effect of beauty, which is... Thank you.
Thank you.
So I will... Please.